Live from the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
That's the mark of a true sport, is finding a way to cheat on it.
Come on, this is basketball. You're a basketball guy.
You may have received a Valentine from me. Please understand this does not mean that I like you in any way.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. 5 o'clock hour, final hour of the week. Although back tomorrow, JVT will be with ESPN Las Vegas on campus as we get you ready for UNLV at New Mexico. That's where I'm at right down the road from the Pit in Albuquerque. The guys are down at the Golden Nugget. Big Five time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
So we had one of the New Mexico writers on earlier, Jeff Grammer. We were asking him about Valentine's Day, and he's like, I always bring it. Von Tobel, did you want to throw us on the griddle about Valentine's Day?
Yeah, what are you guys doing? What do you do? Well, I mean, obviously, Steve, you're out, so I would assume, did you give a little something-something away, or is a little something-something coming something later in the week?
Of course.
But of course to what? I give you two options.
Oh, of course I got it done, yeah. Oh,
okay, all right. Yeah.
We did it. We celebrated Valentine's Day a little bit early. Do you want to know what the girlfriend got, the significant other?
Yeah, what'd you? That's what I'm really curious. I'm really curious how Steve Cofield shows love.
I've changed over the years. First of all, I'm a little more organized, so I actually get something ahead of time. Two, I'm very much anti-stupid gifts, like gifts that you're not really going to use.
Yeah. Teddy bears.
Right, so yeah. Teddy bears are, we have so many stupid stuffed animals, it's out of control, right? Don't I sound like a festive guy on Valentine's Day?
You do.
So I try to get stuff that she's going to use, so I pay attention to her in the months before, stuff that she wanted to buy. I think you're going to laugh at the items, though, that I got. I just basically put together a goodie bag with one. I got her some chocolates. Actually, Adam Hill was with me at the Lamb when I got her some chocolates that she wanted. She actually asked for some chocolates, so I got those. Then I got her a steering wheel cover for her car, some plug-in smellies for the car,
okay,
a coffee cup with Grumpy Cat, the cat that just died.
And Grumpy Cat died?
Oh, yeah. Grumpy Cat died.
Yeah, Grumpy Cat died. And
did it say something like, I hate Mondays? Or
It did, yeah. It was one of those. And I got her a bunch of plastic, or like hard plastic straws.
Okay.
To save the environment?
She uses, no, they're not going to save the environment at all. No, she uses straws all the time. She's a straw-holic, so I got her straws, the coffee cup. She needed a steering wheel cover, and now her car will smell nice.
I felt like a Valentine's Day from Kofi would be like a card, and it's just like a folded piece of printer paper, and inside says, You're all right, Kofi.
You're cool. Right? Fist bump. There's nothing. My gift bag is functional.
No, it's very true. That's actually very
thoughtful. It doesn't have to be all about romance. Yeah. I actually listened to her and picked up things that she wanted over the last couple of months.
It's pretty good.
Nice.
I didn't do that.
I will be Debbie Downer here. No pun intended, but I also her birthday's at the end of November. Christmas and Hanukkah is like, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, and then you got Valentine's Day. I mean, there's just, come on, with the gifts. Enough.
But you get her something for, I mean, I know there's a crossover. You get her something for Christmas and Hanukkah?
Yes. There's a bunch of gifts.
Oh, no.
Wow.
You got to pick one. You got to pick a lane.
Sounds like it's a sweet
We're not in the same lane. What do you want me to do? We got to convert?
Well, no, but you only get, if you're only celebrating one, you only get gifts
like
for
you
one.
Get the gifts for one. Yeah, whatever you celebrate.
I'm a very giving individual.
Well,
so am I.
What did she need for a car then? Oil change?
By the way, do I do this? Yeah, I'll do it. Speaking of the holidays, so I gave you guys gifts for the holidays?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Right? Wait, no, here's the thing. So I didn't accept, I don't expect anything back.
There's been no reciprocation yet.
Well, no, I didn't expect anything, right? But here's the thing, and I don't know if you remember this, because I gave this to you guys at the Westgate. Steve says, yeah, I'll give you your gift next week.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Wait, what was it?
Wait, what I got you guys? Yeah. I got you the beers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was very nice.
Yeah.
You know where I ran into trouble? Because you know what I was going to get? I don't think John was in the loop on last year's gifts. But, Adam, do you remember what I gave everyone last year on the show?
Was it a gift card to get alcohol?
A gift card to get cannabis.
Nice.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And John, I went to the place that had the gift cards. I guess I could have tried like 12 more places, but I went there and they're like, "Yeah, we don't do those anymore." And I'm like, "All right. That's it. No gift."
I can appreciate that. It's way too much work after that. I'm only a coworker.
The effort was there and I was heartbroken. I'm like, "Come on. That was a gift."
I mean, and it's not like I was actually buying myself liquor and Isabel was the one to tell me, my wife, like, "Are you going to get Adam and Steve something?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. Grab those two beers over there."
Hey, you know what? You gave us something. All right, what'd you get her?
My wife, nothing. I got her a card, and I made.
You're busting my chops.
And I made a nice little faux heart out of red pipe cleaners on our bed, and put the card in the middle of it, and then I came here. But I am picking up her favorite meal on the way home. We're gonna go out tomorrow, so we're one of the don't go out on the actual day because it's a pain. So we do something together tonight, and then we'll go out tomorrow night.
That's good.
Top four stories.
Number four.
So I was telling you guys, especially Adam, at the beginning of the week, I love the XFL, and I love the fact that everything's mic'd up. You know, Diana Rossini's running around. A player makes a bad play. She's right in his face with a microphone. I also love that the coaches were instructing the quarterbacks on certain plays, you know, audibles and all this. And I'm like, and you can actually hear it. The fans at home can hear it. And now there's going to be strategy of, like, scouting what they said on TV. And there's, you know, it's going to be high-level stuff. What came out recently about Jim Zorn?
He had no idea that those calls were being broadcast on television.
Go ahead. Who's going to do it? I think it's the honors belong to Von Tobel.
Okay, Boomer.
Yep. Okay, Boomer.
Is somebody going to tell him? Whose job is it to tell him?
How are you this disconnected with the league that you're in? What are the chances that they lined up for the kickoff and he's like, "What are you guys doing? Like, why are you guys all so close together?"
Yeah, he didn't know the rules.
Like, he had no idea what was happening. Why aren't you guys running? Nobody's moving until this guy catches the ball.
He's sending the extra point team out. They're like, "There's no extra points."
I was like, Jim, it's actually the way it's supposed to go down.
It's fantastic.
I mean, you got to resign at that point. Hey, Adam, what happened with your beat writer for the LA team? Didn't they fire the DC Pepper Johnson after the first game?
First game. Well, they gave up the most points in the league, and they were like, "All right, that's not acceptable. He's out."
Seattle cuts Zorn, lets him loose after this next game. I mean, that's terrible. Come on.
Hey, they fired a defensive coordinator after one game. Why not?
Yeah, the Dragons struggling to call their plays or even know that they're calling plays live. He did say he was thankful that he didn't stutter or fumble on any of his play calls because they would have been on TV, but he had no idea that they were being broadcast.
Or how about cursing?
Yeah, that's true. He also said he's a little upset that now they're going to have to change signals every game, according to him, because he's like, "We're just giving our play calls away every single week."
Exactly, and that was exactly what I addressed at the beginning of the week, because other coaches in the league, like Pep Hamilton, were like, "Well, we're going to have to change everything." And Jim Zorn, it takes him the whole week to realize that his calls were on TV. All right, top three stories.
Number three.
What is the latest in the wild world of Dak and Dallas?
Well, Dak was not too pleased with a question, and his answer doesn't really reflect it, but I thought, if you saw the picture of his kind of, like, reaction to it, it was a question of, are you worth $40 million a season? And his response to that was, "You tell me." Well, I'll tell you, Dak. No, you're not. You're not worth it. But the contract negotiations still somewhat ongoing. I think there's kind of a general feeling that it's just going to get done at some point, but I think if you really listen to Dak, I don't know that he's completely sure that that's the case. I feel like they're still kind of a ways apart. It seems like the Cowboys are thinking more in the $30 million range. Dak's people are thinking more around $40 million. He was asked if the Cowboys are going to pay him. He said, "I'm wondering the same thing. You guys know just as much as me. I'll love when that day comes, but I have confidence in my agency, my agents, and my team. I've got confidence in the Cowboys that something will get done." He said, "If it's my call to write a check, then yes." That was his response to if he's worth the $40 million. "If it's my call, yes. Like I said before, though, I trust my agents. I trust the Cowboys. Something will get done. I'm not going to sit here and put a number on it. Something will happen." Well, not if your demands are $40 million. Nothing will happen.
What do you think their plan B is, aside from tagging him, the Cowboys?
I mean, I think that would be the plan B. But
and then what's Dak's response? There can be nothing but one response, right?
I mean, you have to take it.
Well, how about you're not playing?
Oh, you hold out? Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be it.
Which, what did I say last year?
He should have teamed up with him.
Yep. When Zeke was out, Dak should have been out, and Amari Cooper should have been out. But Dak wanted to be the loyal guy, and here's your loyalty, Dak, right back in your face.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where they're going to go. I think they're going to tag him, which I think right now is around $27 million, which it's going to be tough to, you know, risk a year. And I don't think that it would get to that. I don't think if you threaten to hold out that they would allow that to happen with a quarterback. But, you know, I think that will be where this ends up. If his demands and his team is demanding, you know, upwards of that, because the story is not sure that he was maybe offered 30 and turned it down. If you're turning down 30, you can't go back. Yep. You can't go under that.
26.8
off the year he had.
Sorry, 26.8 is the franchise tag for quarterbacks, a projected franchise tag for quarterbacks this year.
And there's going to be a lot of guys available. So if the Cowboys did want to move on, they're going to be able to. This quarterback carousel is going to determine so much about this offseason, but there's so many guys available that never are.
And what's going to be more fascinating is, so Stations the other day came out with a couple of draft props. That's what I can't wait to see with this whole market in quarterbacks, because that also affects what's going to happen in the first round. So that prop was set at 3.5, and, you know, wherever some of these guys end up, the quarterback needs might not be that important for some teams in the first round. So I'm with you. Like, I can't wait.
I wrote a mock draft. It'll be coming out, I think, Monday. As I'm doing it, I'm going through, and I'm like, you don't know who needs what.
Yep.
You're trying to pick for the Raiders. Like, okay, will they take a receiver? I think they'll go receiver and linebacker, but I think they're going to try to address both of those. They might have a quarterback, so they probably wouldn't go quarterback. Which of these teams that might draft a quarterback are going to sign one in free agency and not have to draft one? It's complete chaos, and it's all going to be determined by the quarterbacks.
Top two stories.
Number two.
Boy, it was a tough decision today. Myles Garrett is back. He's been reinstated by the NFL. He sits down almost immediately with ESPN's Mina Kimes. And, again, he's talking about the incident, the helmet-swinging incident with Mason Rudolph, and he is doubling down on what he said originally, that a slur was thrown his way. Fire this.
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't like, man, I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me, personally, just shouldn't be said, and whether it's known by family, friends, anyone. And I don't want to use it because I don't want to, you know, find that appropriate around me for anyone to use. So, when he said it, you know, it kind of sparked something, but I still tried to let it go and still walk away. Once he came back, it kind of, you know, kind of reignited the situation.
Now, so many people have said about Myles Garrett, well, why didn't he mention this the first time around, like in the hours or days right after? Why did he wait? And, you know, again, now he's waiting a second time to tell everyone. He explained why he waited.
Because I didn't want to try to use it as justification for my actions, because there's nothing to justify. Like, there's nothing that I can say or do to justify what I did on that day. I'm not saying there's nothing to justify it, and I didn't do anything wrong. And I know what I know what happened. I know what I heard. And people say things, you know, when they're heated or they're full of emotion, and, you know, I leave it on the field. He said it, but, you know, that was 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Now I leave that behind.
The other common response to all this is, well, if it happened, where's the proof? There's mics all over the place. The NFL said, hey, you know what? Our mics didn't pick it up. Garrett doesn't believe that.
Most quarterbacks wear mics in their helmets. He's somehow lost his helmet and had to get another one without a mic. There were guys who were mic'd up near me, and near us during that time, who didn't hear anything. And from what I've heard, there have been audio during that game that could have heard something or could not have heard something, but, you know, they don't want to say. So something was said. I know something was said. Now, whether the NFL wants to acknowledge it, that's up to them. But I don't want to make it a racial thing, honestly. It's over with for me, and I'm pretty sure it's over with for Mason. So we just want to move past that and keep on playing football.
Well, that I don't know that is a tidy ending to the whole thing.
Well, no.
I don't want to make it a racial thing. We're talking about it again. What do you mean it's over for you?
Well, that, and when you allege that there might actually be audio that they didn't want to get out, like, I don't think it's exactly going to go away when you drop something like that near the end so casually.
I want this to end so I'm going to throw out another bombshell.
By the way, there's a black box somewhere that actually has the audio of it happening, but, you know, I'm over it.
I like the conspiracy theory of changing helmets, too.
Yeah.
We'll get back to more of this in about 10 minutes, but let's get to our top story.
Number one.
Boy, if you want blockbuster stuff, Cody Bellinger came out swinging today on the Astros. We're going to play this for you on the way back as we're moving on into the second part of the 5 o'clock hour. But Bellinger, he's not buying anything that's going down right now. He's not buying Jim Crane. He thinks the Astros are dirtbags. He thinks Jose Altuve benefited unfairly a couple years ago getting an MVP. Cody Bellinger from the Dodgers does not give two you-know-whats. He goes off on the Astros on the way back.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. Now, back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas.
Crazy day for bold statements. Miles Garrett back in football. He'll be starting off the regular season. He's the Browns defensive end who was swinging a helmet at Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph, and he doubled down again today. Now that he's back, he talked to Mina Kimes and said, I heard a racial slur. I believe there's audio of it, but I don't want this to keep going. Cody Bellinger threw gas all over the fire. People are completely pissed off from yesterday's sham of a press conference by the Astros where they were apologizing, and every one of them did not apologize. Clearly forced into a situation. They're not sorry. And Bellinger, you know, the Dodgers star outfielder who lost the World Series against the Astros, is like, all of this is nonsense. Let me just give you the laundry list of people and situations I'm disappointed with.
Thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
Cheating for 3 years. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, they have been. The report said it was all 2017 and part of 2018, and he didn't do it in 2019. If you believe that, I don't know what to tell you. There's zero chance they just said, yeah, you know what? We're good.
Don't they allege it was it Vogelbach or whoever it was that we caught him for the White Sox? Like, that's when they stopped. They were like, all right.
Yeah, but they stopped. And if you go back and look, it was last year during the Tiger series where the Tigers completely shut them down.
Oh, Tigers, yeah.
In Houston. But it was right after, I think, the White Sox series. Then they kind of got caught, and the Tigers totally shut them down. And then I think the Astros were like, oh, boy.
Yep.
We're going to get this going again. So then they started hitting again. Like, it's pretty dramatic. You go back and look, like, the Tigers were horrific. What happened? Oh, they had to stop because they got caught for a weekend.
That Verlander, series was like a $5 favorite in one of those games
that
he lost.
Lost.
And I was just going to mention that. I forgot all about that because it was like, didn't we have big arguments from people on social media? Because I think I hit on that game on the Tigers, and people were like, that wasn't a real winner. You just got lucky. And meanwhile, we had no idea that we were in the midst of this massive cheating scandal where the Astros stopped cheating for 3 games to produce one of the biggest upsets in recent modern baseball history.
And by the way, Steve, I mean, those types of things, we talked about the lawsuit with the kid that got sent back to the minors. You want integrity fees?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Look how much that altered games.
This is so reminiscent of David Stern and the way he handled the Donaghy stuff, and it's never going to come out how much the NBA knew and for how long they knew about it. It's never going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole thing just barely scratched the freaking surface. Listen to Bellinger here. He's like, I just don't care. I'll rip away.
I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys.
Love it. And then he goes in on Altuve and the stupid holding onto his jersey thing. He's like, that is not believable at all. They were cheating.
I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that makes no sense to me. makes zero sense to me because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I set my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Right. Altuve, so let's not celebrate off, too. Let's not celebrate too hard. Yeah, let's rip the pants off. Gary Sanchez running around bottomless in a jock.
Strip me nude.
There's no buzzer in the jock.
But he's, and again, maybe it's not just that Jose Altuve.
That's
for
the
those,
next spot.
For those that aren't, for those that, you know.
That'll, that'll make you hit.
Yep.
Yeah. If you somehow haven't seen it, Jose Altuve hits the walk-off. He's running around the bases. They're waiting for it at home plate. He grabs his shirt, holds his hand to his chest, and says, don't rip my shirt off. Then he runs to the dugout while everybody's celebrating on the field, changes out of his jersey into another shirt, then comes out to do the interview. Like, that's what they're referencing? It's pretty overwhelming circumstantial evidence. Like, you have no proof there. It's pretty overwhelming circumstantial evidence that something was going on underneath the jersey, which the allegation would be a buzzer. That's what Bellinger is saying. I have not heard any semblance of defense to that.
Oh, it's easy. He wanted to keep it because he just hit a walk-off bomb against Aroldis Chapman to send him in a World Series, and he wanted to keep the jersey intact so he could hang it in his place.
Fine. Why'd he change shirts?
Because he doesn't want it to get damaged.
They're
going to celebrate. They're going to celebrate.
Playing the role of the Astros fan.
Right. They're going to celebrate. They're going to dump water. They're going to dump beer or whatever.
Why wasn't that his reason when he was asked about it? Why did he say, I'm shy, I don't like having my shirt off in public, when he has 50 or 60 Instagram photos shirtless on his own Instagram page?
Maybe he's feeling a little flabby that day.
At the height of the championship series. Yeah, after a season of playing,
he had a big lunch.
He's gotten out of shape.
He was feeling a little soft.
This is going to be the opening of the floodgates. Now that Bellinger has done this, every freaking team is going to have someone annihilating the Astros. Rob Manfred has totally lost control of this on the way back. We're going to hear from Steven Strasburg. I love this so much because they try to cover up, and finally the players are like, all right, enough of this. We're not playing along with this bullcrap, Manfred.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
You know, if they're worried about Valentine's Day on game day, I recruited the wrong kids. We celebrate Valentine's Day like a week before. Tammy and I have Valentine's on Saturday, so she might get a little something, you know, day off, but we've had our celebration.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas.
All right, now that you heard it, how do you spell it?
Something.
I still go with mine. There's no P or T.
I think John's right. I think Steve's right. It's S-U-M-P-I-N.
Yep.
Something.
I disagree. Sorry, John. I disagree.
I know people that say umpen, like
O-M-P-E-N? Umpen? Open?
No, not double. I think like to open a door. It's like to open. Like, oh. I've heard that O-M-P-E-N, I think.
Okay.
I think that's a word.
JVT, Adam hanging out at the Golden Nugget as we do every Friday afternoon. Blue Oyster Cult is playing 52 Fridays tonight. Next week is Grand Funk Railroad. I personally think on 2021 Valentine's Day, you got to have Firehouse. We played some Firehouse earlier. Heavy metal band, but with great love ballads.
I think next.
Dennis DeYoung on March 6th, so 52 Fridays rolling along. And, of course, on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, Gordy Brown is back with his Lasting Impression show. So grab your tickets now. That is a limited engagement with Mr. Gordy Brown. So do you guys think I'm right that Bellinger basically just gave everyone else the path to go down? If you want to talk about the Astros and what dirtbags they are, other players are going to feel comfortable. Like, this is not the steroid era where everyone was like, they weren't even asked about it, but no one, I don't think most people have come forward since. Most of the former players have come since and told the stories. This is going to be totally different, right? This is going to be an avalanche on the Astros.
Yeah, and I think if you want to actually make an impact, now you've got a standard. Like, you've got to go stronger than Bellinger. Like, that's the standard now to make your opinion matter.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you're a player as well, like, you didn't punish them for the actual act. So you have to feel emboldened by the fact, like you know, Major League Baseball, what are they going to do? They're going to punish me for coming out, right, and, like, guns a-blazing and just wreak havoc everywhere and start saying what I feel like? So I feel you have to be emboldened by that, too, and say whatever you want.
Yep. Manfred's totally lost control because you're right. Can you imagine? He didn't go after the cheating players, but he actually finds someone to talk about it.
Yeah.
Or when they talk about it, get
like
out of here.
In 5 days, you know, Bellinger or whatever, he gets this, yep. he gets a fine thrown at him for the comments. Like, that would be even worse.
Here's Steven Strasburg telling a story.
Steven Strasburg, 2 runs in the first inning, nothing thereafter. What was the change you made?
Started shaking my gloves so they didn't know what I was throwing, so... You know.
Second. Stop this for 1 second. Let me set this up correctly. Yeah. John, you set this up because this isn't a recent comment by Strasburg. This is going in the Wayback Machine. When was this from?
So this is Strasburg after game 6 of the World Series. Of course, they took on the Houston Astros. But if you remember, Strasburg gave up 2 runs in the first inning and actually didn't look like he had anything going. He finished going 8 1/3 and completely shut them down the rest of the way. But this ties in with Kurt Suzuki, who came out with comments, said that he didn't what was the comment he said? The quote was, there's no doubt. That he thought that they were cheating during the World Series. And it's kind of funny because you're going to hear from this comment about the adjustments that Strasburg made. And there's a key quote in here, too, that you're going to hear.
Steven Strasburg, 2 runs in the first inning, nothing thereafter. What was the change you made?
Started shaking my gloves so they didn't know what I was throwing. So, you know, obviously, look for certain things. And, I just thank Menhart for, giving me the tip.
Well, let's talk about that because I saw you after that first inning go to a more deliberate set and you would butterfly your glove to confuse them. I watched you walk after that first inning, go down with Paul Menhart. Tell me about how he saw that, or did you recognize that?
I definitely didn't because, it's something that, has burned me in the past and they burned me there in the first. But, it's just a part of the game and, you got to do your best to, stay consistent in your delivery on each pitch.
So I kind of thought when I was watching the video tells a lot too. Like that doesn't sound like a guy who just pitched 8 1/3 in an elimination game to force a game 7. And even he says it at the beginning, he's like, yeah, I had to change it and start confusing them. So they didn't know what was coming. Like he seems irritated. Like if Suzuki's right and they were actually talking about this, is another instance. And to Adam's point, very recent.
Yeah.
That the Astros seemed to know what a pitcher was going to throw at them, and the pitcher had to make an adjustment.
And again, the report and the Astros are leaning on, it happened a little bit in 2017, maybe part of 2018. Didn't happen after that. Garbage.
Yeah.
Nobody should buy that.
What's going to happen in the end here? Can we make the prediction? Is baseball going to sit on this and just hope it goes away? Meanwhile, there are going to be media entities. I don't think it'll be TMZ this time, like with the Ray Rice video. But there is going to be some media work on this where they're going to uncover a whole lot more. They're going to have proof that it went on for 3 years. And then what does baseball and Manfred do? Don't you have to reopen things?
Yeah, but...
What do you mean immunity? You know what? The immunity was under this set of standards. We're now lifting it because you lied so much during the investigation. Screw it. Now we're handing out more severe penalties.
Well, I think they might be forced into it. I mean, obviously what they hope is it goes away. That the Astros talked about it and the apology was awful. And everybody made that same joke about it. It was like Dwight's apology on The Office, which is a reference Steve now gets. But
I feel regret.
I express my regret. It was a terrible apology, and I think baseball was hoping, all right, this is it. Pitchers and catchers reporting, it goes away. But it won't. Like, we talked about it earlier. Guys are already talking about throwing at the Astros all year. So that's when you really start to, like, okay, what are you going to do? You got to stop this from happening. You can't just have a team that every team comes in and just starts throwing at them. It's going to have to be addressed at some point. Either they're going to have to try to nip that in the bud, which then it becomes another controversy, or they make some rules about doing that. Then it goes over the top again.
Okay. That's on the field.
Yeah.
Off the field.
Right, but I'm saying those things are going to make it come up.
Every city they go into, Alex Bregman, let's go. Talk. Answer questions. Like, we're going to have fights in clubhouses. These guys are going to punch the media. And by the way, if Justin Verlander ever gets on his – man, if I could curse right now.
Oh, he's the worst.
If he ever gets on his freaking high horse again – remember the stupid thing last year? Where he's trying to get some guy from Detroit banned because the guy was low character and, ethically bankrupt. don't ever talk again, Justin Verlander. Never.
So can I ask
not on that pulpit.
No, he was annoying yesterday. Almost incredulous when people were asking him questions about it. It was ridiculous. But so let me ask both of you then. So
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Is this all going to be contained on the Astros too? Think about, because the first person I thought of, like, Verlander may not speak. When does Kate Upton just lose it and say something stupid on Twitter?
Starts tweeting, yeah.
Yeah, they're defending him. Oh, this has so much potential. This is going to be lit. Hate that word, but it's going to be lit the entire year during the baseball season.
Wasn't it some of the other players' wives that were getting a little bit froggy on social media during the World Series last year too? Like, I don't think she's the only one that's going to be outspoken.
Right.
And the players might, like, it seemed like what the players were hoping yesterday is this is done. It's over. We talked about it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. It's not going to happen. But if they're getting continuously assaulted, even if they're trying not to say anything, somebody's going to say something.
Yep.
It's got a lot of potential. No question.
If I'm an opposing pitcher, my spots will be picked throughout the year to freaking nail Altuve, Bregman. Anyone else that I think is a horse's ass on the Astros is getting hit.
I mean, there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of things that could happen. This could go in a lot of different directions this year, and it's just going to be fun to watch it play out. And as John said earlier, good for baseball, because as bad as this is, people are going to be talking about it and watching it.
That's my whole thinking with this. Like, you guys are talking about, like, Major League Baseball, what they have to do. Why do they have to do anything? Like, I think they're fine with, like you said, they want this to go away. Do you really? Because you have guaranteed that people are going to watch as many Houston Astros series as possible. People might actually care about spring training and tune in to watch that to see what the interactions are going to be like, because that's a little bit more of an intimate setting for a lot of these players. They want this to go away, but at the same time, baseball has never been more, I guess, popular is the word. Nobody's talked about baseball this much at this time of the year. Nobody's cared. And now here we are. And I cannot wait to watch the regular season. I can't wait for the first Astros and Yankees series. I can't wait for the first Astros series, period. And I think this is overall, like, it's a negative and it's a black eye, and we talk about the integrity and all that, but at the same time, it's a positive for baseball. They are more relevant than they've ever been in a long time.
On the way back, there's no one more awkward than Adam Hill in a public setting.
True.
But you guys just had something happen like a half an hour ago where you were just thrown for a total freaking loop, and I have no idea what Adam would do in this situation.
Continue the Cofield and Company conversation on Facebook. Friend us at ESPN Las Vegas. Cofield and Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Oh, boy. We ran out of time again. This is a nightmare. Can you guys bring something back from earlier in the show real quick?
Yes.
We had Gary Tuchman on from CNN, and looking up on his wiki page, his dad was a CEO, you know, a high-level executive with a couple of different toy stores. One is Toys R Us, which everyone's heard of. Mm-hmm. Another one was based in the Northeast, and it was called Child World.
Ooh.
It's a bad name for a store.
It's a bad branding.
Like, you don't remember that one?
No.
The mascot was a happy rabbit, and he had a T-shirt. The T-shirt said, "I'm happy." And later, he was replaced by a cartoon panda named Peter Panda.
I feel like that's the worst name for a panda. All right, right off the bat. There's never a panda that will be named Peter. First off. Second off, Child World just, you got to get a better branding team. It sounds creepy.
It does. I mean, it is a new era where I feel like we're a little more alert to those things.
Finally tuned.
Which goes back to my point about watching Little League Baseball, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Now it's been proven that I was not being creepy.
There were actually
stores named Child World.
We also have a 7-year-old standing right next to us right now, Steve. So we're being so we're a little
back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Apparently, the Nugget has been a weird scene today. First of all,
I love this spot.
It's been John loves it. He's taking selfies with people.
Yes. How's it going, ma'am?
On Valentine's Day, you've had a bunch of women walk by themselves, and they've been waving at you guys, shocking.
Yes.
But you also had someone collapse in front of you. Someone collapsed in front of you, and then the family was hanging out the person was being tended to.
So we are in this hallway at Golden Nugget. Whoever is working with us usually does a fantastic job. Today, good work.
Bouncers.
Good work.
We essentially have a bouncer here for those who are listening. Yeah.
Usually, yes. But there's just too much. You can't do it all. Now, yeah. an elderly gentleman was walking down the hall. He started to run out of gas. I don't know if it was a medical issue or just a fatigue
issue.
Running
on fumes.
And there's one extra chair at our set, and he just grabs it and sits down with us. Now, DeMond, doing his best, ran over and was basically like, get the hell out of here. And I gave him the little indication of, hey, man, like, hey, let this one go. Like, I don't think this guy can walk. And then all of a sudden, all of his family is over here.
Like, we're talking like 10 people, by the way. Like, it was a lot.
There was like 10 people. Now they're all sitting at our table with us with security personnel tending to him, trying to find a wheelchair to get him out of here. He's like, I don't want a wheelchair. Like, so you need one. You can't walk. It's a mess. And we're trying to do the show.
And one guy gives me, like, I start laughing at something we were talking about. He gives me a dirty look.
Yeah,
I'm interrupting
him. He thought that we were interrupting their family emergency, and also that John was laughing at the man not able to walk anymore. It was a total mess. But in the end, I don't know what DeMond's supposed to do about it.
Oh, I know what DeMond's supposed to do.
You can't kick the guy out.
There's chairs right over there.
Oh,
we're
right.
Doing
our job.
DeMond, you got to drag him away. Come on, do your job.
Integrity
of the show.
In fairness, he was on it, and he was about to make the dude stand up and pass out again, and I was like, let him sit. I didn't know the rest of the family was coming over, though. That's when it became a real mess.
And here's the thing. I didn't notice it, but it actually affected the show at some point because we have RJ Bell on earlier, and he's like, what's going on there? Not a lot of energy. Meanwhile, I'm like, I think they sound okay. There's a guy dying in front of us, RJ. Maybe that affected the show. John can't laugh at a joke because the family thinks he's laughing at the guy passing away. Live radio.
We were definitely remotes. Distracted. It's fair to say that.
Remotes are the best. All right, back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We got to close on this. I didn't think there was anything in 2020 that would have us more divided than politics. This reclining seat thing on airplanes is completely out of control. There are so many people. I look at them and I hear them now, and I'm like, I thought I knew who you were. I'm never talking to you again.
Yeah, it's ugly.
And now Delta is, the CEO has put his big snout in things. This is not going to help any of it.
It's going to make it worse. The CEO of Delta has said, you know what we'd like is for everyone to turn to the person behind them and ask them if it's okay to recline. Oh, boy. How ugly is this going to get on planes?
Oh, yeah.
This was not the right solution. I think he was just trying to be helpful. I do. That ain't it, bro. That's not going to work. This is going to get even worse because so many people are going to say, can I recline?
Nope.
No. I'm doing it anyway. Let's go. And now you're even a bigger jerk.
I'm a recliner.
Wouldn't be surprised to know I am not.
Adam is not, and I am 50-50 on it. But, man, this is a completely out-of-control topic. Have a good weekend, everybody.